Let's read together Psalm 60. David wrote this psalm to teach his readers to trust the Lord when facing temporary setbacks. Psalm 60, beginning with verse 1. O God, you have cast us off. You have broken us down. You have been displeased. O restore us again. You have made the earth tremble. You have broken it. Heal its breaches, for it is shaking. You have shown your people hard things. You have made us drink the wine of confusion. You have given a banner to those who fear you, that it may be displayed because of the truth, Selah, that your beloved may be delivered. Save with your right hand and hear me. God has spoken in his holiness. I will rejoice. I will divide Shechem and measure out the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine and Manasseh is mine. Ephraim also is the helmet or protection for my head. Judah is my lawgiver. Moab is my washpot. Over Edom I will cast my shoe. Philistia, shout in triumph because of me. Who will bring me to the strong city? Who will lead me to Edom? Is it not you, O God, who cast us off? And you, O God, who did not go out with our armies? Give us help from trouble, for the help of man is useless. Through God we will do valiantly, for it is he who shall tread down our enemies. Let's begin our study of Psalm 60 with some background notes. We see from the title of this psalm that it was for the chief musician or choir director, according to Shushan Eduth, which literally means the lily of the testimony, and was probably a tune to which this psalm could be sung. We also see from the title that David wrote this psalm with a didactic purpose in mind, that is, to teach. The fact that this psalm is a miktam, which we've seen is a word associated with a verb to cover and may refer to God's protective covering of his people, means that the purpose of the psalm would be to teach God's people to trust the Lord for his protection in times of threat and temporary setback. Now, the temporary setback that David was experiencing in this psalm, we also know from the title, because the occasion is given. When David fought against Mesopotamia and Syria of Zobah, and Joab returned and killed 12,000 Edomites in the Valley of Saul. We read about these battles in 2 Samuel chapter 8, 1 Kings chapter 11, and 1 Chronicles chapter 18. I'm reading from 2 Samuel chapter 8, beginning with verse 3. David also defeated Hadadezer, the son of Rehob, king of Zobah, as he went to recover his territory at the river Euphrates. David took from him 1,000 chariots, 700 horsemen, and 20,000 foot soldiers. Also, David hamstrung all the chariot horses, except that he spared enough of them for 100 chariots. When the Syrians of Damascus came to help Hadadezer, king of Zobah, David killed 22,000 of the Syrians. Then David put garrisons in Syria of Damascus, and the Syrians became David's servants and brought tribute. So the Lord preserved David wherever he went. And David took the shields of gold that had belonged to the servants of Hadadezer and brought them to Jerusalem, also from Betah and from Berathai, cities of Hadadezer, King David took a large amount of bronze. From 2 Samuel chapter 8, verses 3 through 8. Now, as we read these verses in 2 Samuel chapter 8, we are not aware of any setbacks for David in these verses that we just read. But apparently, while David was here in the north of Israel, fighting these enemies coming in from the far north, the Edomites took advantage of this situation and invaded Israel from the south. This is what caused the temporary setback and the occasion for the predicament of the nation that we see in verses 1 through 5 of this psalm. It seems that David sent General Joab and Joab's brother Abishai to deal with this military invasion by Edom, and they then returned to David having successfully defeated the Edomites. I'm reading in this connection 1 Chronicles chapter 18, verses 12 and 13. Moreover, Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, killed 18,000 Edomites in the Valley of Saul. He also put garrisons in Edom, and all the Edomites became David's servants, and the Lord preserved David wherever he went. From 1 Chronicles chapter 18, verses 12 and 13. Now, the fact that 2 Samuel chapter 8 gives David credit for this victory, while 1 Chronicles 18 gives Abishai the credit, and the title of Psalm 60 gives Joab the credit, is no problem when the military chain of command is considered. All are given credit, as it should be. David the king, General Joab, the head of the armed forces, and Abishai, the field commander. These different positions would also help explain the different accounts of how many were killed in these battles. Well, so much for background. Let's move now to our doctrinal or teaching points for Psalm 60. We have three doctrinal points from this psalm. Number one, God allows temporary setbacks, verses 1 through 5. Number two, God promises overwhelming victory, verses 6 through 8. And number three, God bestows valiant faith, verses 9 through 12. So doctrinal point number one, God allows temporary setbacks, verses 1 through 5. Let's read these verses once again. O God, you have cast us off. You have broken us down. You have been displeased. O, restore us again. You have made the earth tremble. You have broken it. Heal its breaches, for it is shaking. You have shown your people hard things. You have made us drink the wine of confusion. You have given a banner to those who fear you, that it may be displayed because of the truth. Selah. That your beloved may be delivered. Save with your right hand and hear me. We see in these verses that David recognized that God had allowed this temporary setback in the battle with his enemies. In fact, David realized that the Lord was displeased with the nation, verse 1, probably because of their pride. And God was allowing Israel to experience a shaking, verse 2, and hard times, verse 3, and temporary defeat, verse 4, as a means of discipline for his people. The same is true for God's people today. God allows temporary setbacks for all kinds of reasons, such as to teach us patience and humility and dependence. And certainly one reason is to discipline us when we've been displeasing to the Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 31 and 32, we read, "For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened or disciplined by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world." 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 31 and 32. So God's discipline is certainly one reason for temporary setbacks. God allows temporary setbacks. Doctrinal point number two, God promises overwhelming victory. God promises overwhelming victory. Verses 6 through 8. Let's read these verses once again. God has spoken in his holiness. I will rejoice. I will divide Shechem and measure out the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine, and Manasseh is mine. Ephraim also is the helmet or protection for my head. Judah is my lawgiver. Moab is my washpot. Over Edom I will cast my shoe. Philistia shout in triumph because of me. In verse 5, David prayed for divine deliverance, and in verses 6 through 8, God answers. In these verses, verses 6 through 8, David quotes what he received from the Lord. These verses are thus a divine oracle promising overwhelming victory, because God owns all of the land and is in control of all the land. This is still true, by the way. The places and regions that are mentioned in these verses are on both sides of the Jordan River, including the West Bank. The idea in verse 8 of Moab as God's wash basin and Edom under God's shoe is that these countries would be reduced to servant status under Israel, God's people. So in answer to David's prayer, God guarantees military victory. We too are guaranteed victory as God's people today. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 57 says, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." No matter what temporary setbacks we face, including death, we are guaranteed ultimate victory. We will not just eke out a victory. No, God promises overwhelming victory. And doctrinal point number three, God bestows valiant faith. God bestows valiant faith. Verses 9 through 12. Let's read these verses once again. Psalm 60, verses 9 through 10. "Who will bring me to the strong city? Who will lead me to Edom? Is it not you, O God, who cast us off? And you, O God, who did not go out with our armies?" Now, what's the obvious answer here? God will lead Israel to victory over the strong city of the enemy. And God will give them victory over Edom, who has invaded Israel from the south. Verse 9. It was God who allowed the temporary setback, and it is God who will now lead Israel and bring them victory. Verse 10. In verses 11 and 12, David acknowledged that without God's help, human help is in reality no help at all. Only God can bring victory over the enemy. Verses 11 and 12. "Give us help from trouble, for the help of man is useless. Through God we will do valiantly, for it is He who shall tread down our enemies." Notice in verse 12 that David is not just confident of the victory, but that Israel would be valiant in victory, that is, brave and having valor. We too can be valiant in faith. As Psalm 118, verse 6 says, "The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" Psalm 118, verse 6. All believers have genuine faith, but not all believers have valiant faith. As Christians, we are involved in spiritual warfare. The Lord not only gives us help and strength and faith to overcome, but He gives us valiant faith. We can face any trial or threat from the enemy with boldness. God bestows valiant faith. Now, what about practical application from Psalm 60? How do you handle temporary setbacks? How do you handle temporary setbacks? When we face a temporary setback in some project or program we started, we either quit or press on, right? The same is true in our Christian life and spiritual walk of faith as believers. There will be temporary setbacks in the life of faith. The question is, how do we handle them? How do you handle temporary setbacks? Do you say, "That's it, I can't handle this disruption anymore, I quit," and as a result, you stop growing as a Christian? Or do you press on and realize that God has allowed this temporary setback in your life to test you or discipline you or teach you some valuable lessons? How do you handle temporary setbacks?